So if you would, open your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 17. And I don't have enough time to really develop the whole story, but you know the story. It's a story where the passage is where David decides that he wants to number. Hi, wife. He wants to number the nation of Israel and all the people. And his chief Joab says, "No, David, don't do that. Why would you want to sin?" And David says, and he argues with him, and it says that the king's word prevailed. And he went ahead and numbered. He had Joab go out and he numbered all the people. And when you get to verse 7 in chapter 21, it says this, "And God was displeased with this thing, therefore, and he smote Israel." And then verse 8, "And David said unto God," he says, "God, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing, but now I beseech thee, do away with the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly." And we aren't really going to look at this passage, but I want you to see something that David went ahead and he realized that he had done foolishly, and he prayed. It's like, take away the iniquity. But what comes after that is God gave David three choices of the punishment, the consequence, if you will, of David's poor decision that he made. And here's the thing about David, and here's how we're going to look at this verse tonight. David was the king. And he was the one that called the shots. He got to call what was going to happen. He was the man in charge, if you will. He was the shepherd. He was the shepherd of Israel. And so for us tonight, none of us sitting in here are reigning kings right now, though God has made us priests and kings if we're saved. But we aren't like David. We can't just say, go number everybody that's in the United States. We don't have that kind of power. But we are shepherds. We're shepherds of our family. We're shepherds of our children. Husbands, you're shepherd of your wife and the family as a whole. Wives, you're shepherding the family and doing an awesome job, I'm sure. And then if you're in the ministry, you have ministry responsibilities where you're shepherding souls according to the Word of God, and it just goes on and on. So you are shepherds. You do have that authority. And the point I want us to see tonight is that every decision that you make or I make as a shepherd has a consequence. Some good and some bad, but every decision that we make has a consequence. And so let's look down here because David's consequence was bad. And what David chose was this. He goes, "I would rather fall into the hand of the Lord than in the hand of the enemy, because God is of great mercy." Well, God is of great mercy, but it caused thousands and thousands of lives in the nation of Israel. And the angel came down and it just said that he was riddling Israel, just killing them. And so you get down here to verse 17, and this is where David, comes to a point in his life in this situation that we all need to get to. And it says this, "And David said unto God, is it not I that commanded the people to be numbered? Even I it is that have sinned and done very evil indeed. But as for these sheep, what have they done? Let thy hand, I pray thee, O Lord God, be on me and my father's house, but on thy people, and not on thy people, that they should be plagued." And so there's three things I want us to see out of this verse. And the first one is that a good shepherd assumes the responsibility. And that's what he did here in verse 17 when he said, "Is it not I that commanded the people to be numbered?" He said, "Hey, I am the one that made this decision to have this carried out. I am the one that gave that command. I am the one that made the decision to go out and number these people." So a good shepherd is going to assume the responsibility. But what happens so often in our families is something will go wrong and the husband will just throw his wife out into the road to get hit by the bus and say, "Well, it was my wife's fault." Or maybe, well, I could have been a, you know, I could be much more successful in my business if I didn't have to take care of those kids all the time. Or maybe our life is, or, you know, things go wrong in our life, and it's like, man, if I just didn't have that husband, things would be different. You know, or in the ministry, we're like, sometimes, we'll make a decision, and then it goes wrong, and we'll be like, well, it would have worked if I had just had better people working with me. You see what I'm saying? That's not the way it works. If you make the decision, look, family, we're going to up and we're going to move. We're going to move to Harrisonville, or we're going to move to California, or we're going to do this. And they're like, well, did you get that from God? Well, I got a verse right here. And so you get some verse, you justify it, and you pick your family up and you move to California, and you get there and nothing goes right. Well, whose fault is it? Who's your fault? So a good shepherd has to take responsibility for the decisions that he makes. And that's what David was doing here. It's kind of like in the army, if you will. Go back to the army analogy. You have a... Ryan, who's in the field with you when you're in the army? Like you're out in the actual field and you're in battle. Who makes the call like to charge a hill? Is that a captain that does that? Okay. So they're out there and they're like, okay, look, and you get the troops all fired up. Like for example, and we were soldiers, they were in the trench in the creek bed, and he gets this guy all fired up, and he's like, okay, let's go. And he jumps up and they all take off running and they just get slaughtered. And so then they have to retreat. Well, it's okay to retreat, but I mean, they lost a bunch of people, and this guy made a huge mistake when he went out. And he needed to take the responsibility for that command. In the ministry, and this is what I really want to focus on tonight, is if you want to be in the ministry and lead a ministry, and you have to be ready to, you have to measure every decision. Because every decision you make in the ministry to charge the hill or make a change or disciple someone or whatever it is you're going to do, it impacts a lot of people's lives. Not just yours, or maybe just not the person that you're directly working with, but there's a, like over here in the elementary wing, there's a lot of people that get impacted on every decision that we make. Not just the workers, not just the teachers, but the kids and their parents. So we need to be ready to take responsibility for the decisions that we make, because everyone has a consequence. One other thing about this, and then we'll move on. The gain or the loss of a decision, you really have to stop and ask yourself, the decision that I'm making, is it based in God's word, and is it really what God wants me to do? Because David did not go to God. He didn't go to God and say, God, do you want me to number the children of Israel? He didn't ask God that. He just went ahead and did it. Even against Joab's better judgment, David went ahead and did it. But I was thinking about that. You know, the book of 1 Chronicles, it's kind of funny the way this works, because that's what God was doing in the book of 1 Chronicles. He did all the genealogy in the first 8 chapters, and then he gives all these, the hierarchy and everything that goes on in Chronicles. And I'm thinking, well, maybe David, you know, when he gets to chapter 21, he's like, well, God's been, of course, they didn't have the book back then, but, you know, when you're reading it now, it's like, well, God's laying out all the genealogies, and he's putting all the things in order, and he's got all these people divided up, and he tells what everybody's doing. Well, maybe I should just number somebody. You know, so God's been doing it, so David's thinking, well, I'm going to do it too. But it wasn't God's timing, and it wasn't what God wanted him to do. So there was a severe consequence for this decisions. Look at Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Because this is what happens sometimes that gets us in trouble. Isaiah 5:20 says this. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. You know, and so sometimes we make the judgment. We make the judgment about life based on how we see it. We can become our anchor, if you will, our dead reckoning, I think is the right term. Sometimes it will get, if we don't keep it in the Word of God, and we look at it the way we want to look at it from experience or traditions in our life, it can begin to drift off course, and we can get off, like if God is straight north, which is that way, I think, and He is, the throne is straight north, sometimes if we aren't using the Bible to keep us in line with straight north, and we allow our traditions and our feelings and our emotions and how we see the world and our political views and all that garbage, we begin to drift off. And we may get just 2 or 3 degrees off, but if you shoot an arrow and you're like 2 or 3 degrees off here, and you go out 100 meters, you're off several feet. And so if you're shooting for God's, the judgment seat of Christ, straight north, Colossians 3:1-2, and you're like, I'm dead on. I'm going right for the judgment seat of Christ, and my whole life lines up with that. And you believe that, but you're off by 2 or 3 degrees because you've twisted God's word just a little based on your own traditions, and you've called bitter for sweet or sweet for bitter. There's just something in the word you just can't quite reckon with. And by the time you get to the judgment seat of Christ, you're off by several meters. And it just doesn't go the way that we're going to plan for it to go. So we need to be able to call good, good, and evil, evil, and bitter, bitter, and sweet, sweet, and do what's right according to God's word and not what David was wanting to do. And it's like, well, I'm the king. I'm just going to go ahead and number these people. And he was off just a little bit, and thousands of people died because of it. Now, go over to Ezekiel 44, if you will. Ezekiel 44. Ezekiel 44:23-24. So let's see, it says this. Everybody ready? All right. We there? 23 and 24. And they shall teach my people the difference between holy and profane. Okay, it's easy to get up here and say, well, look, call good good and evil evil, bitter bitter and sweet sweet. But the truth is, you have to be taught, we have to be taught, we have to, somebody has to come along and teach us, they have to teach us what is the difference between holy and profane. It's not something that we just inherently know, though we do have a conscience. But there's a sense of learning what is profane and what is evil. Now, and the reason I bring this up, I just want to noodle with you on this for a second. Sometimes based on our heritage, our upbringing, we somehow or another we get this thought in us from maybe our parents or our grandparents that this is not the right thing to do, but this is allowed. And so we guide our lives with this tradition, but God loved my grandmother and I loved my grandmother, but some of the stuff she said, you just don't do that. Well, that didn't have anything to do with the Bible. You know what I mean? It's just a tradition. And so we have to be taught what God says is good, what God says is right, what God says is evil, and what He says is sweet, and what He says is bitter. And that's what we have to line our life up with, not what my grandmother taught me, though a lot of things of it was good. But if we're getting right down to the Word of God, we got to be taught by the Word of God what is good and what is evil. It goes on to say this, holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. So we need to be able to discern. Discern is just to say, yes, that is right, that is wrong. That is clean, that is unclean. And I'm going to go this way. And we need to be exercised. Our lives need to be exercised and to do what is right and to avoid what is wrong, to go the way of righteousness and leave the way of wickedness. And that's what we have to do. We have to be able to discern that and act upon it. David needed to be able to discern what was right and what was wrong. And he may have known that that was wrong, but he did it anyway. His discernment had been skewed. Something went wrong in David's life at that point. Okay, let's go on. go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 21. We'll take the second part of this verse and look at it real quick. 21:17. So you have to take responsibility for your decisions and your actions. And he did that. He did that right here in verse 17, but it was kind of late for it. But he got it done after the consequence. He says, "Is it not I that commanded the people to be numbered, even I that have sinned and done evil indeed?" And so not only did he take responsibility for his decision, he took responsibility for his sin. It wasn't just a bad decision, it was a sinful decision, and he was ready to own up to that decision, and he did. So that was definitely to his credit. Now, the second part of this is a good shepherd does not hide behind his sheep. A good shepherd does not hide behind his sheep. It says this, "But as for these sheep," he was talking about the people here, he wasn't talking about literal sheep, "as for these sheep, what have they done?" What have they done? A good shepherd does not hide behind the sheep. He could have thrown, all right, who can you think of in the Old Testament that, it's not exactly the same situation, but kind of the same situation, similar, and he throws the people, when he was questioned, "Why did you do this?" He just throws the people under the bus. He threw the sheep out there. Can you think of who that was? Who? Saul, yeah. He's like, "Saul, what's going on here? What is that bleeding I hear in my ears?" Well, the people wanted to do it. It's like, what a terrible leader. What a terrible shepherd. He just threw him out there. He was hiding behind the sheep. Ephesians 5:22 and 25. Let me read this to you. We don't have to turn over there. Just to kind of put this in context for our applicational sense. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, and as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So, this whole thing pictures for us how, I mean, kind of in the opposite sense, the anti way, if you will, how Christ is the good shepherd, how Christ didn't hide behind the sheep, how Christ took the responsibility. It wasn't even his decision of what the decision that he made. He didn't do anything wrong, but he made it for us. And so what David did kind of paints a picture for us of what Christ did in a good sense. If we want to be shepherds, if we want to be shepherds, we don't blame someone else. We don't hide behind our wife. Men, you get in front of your wives. You don't get behind your wife and let her take the blame. Because David said, hey, what did these sheep have to do with this? They didn't have anything to do with this decision. Yet I made the decision and they're being slaughtered. The man, the husband, needs to stand in front of the wife. The parents need to stand in front of their children. The ministry leader, the shepherd, the pastor needs to stand in front of his flock. Christ stood in front of his church. So we use Christ as the example, the end sample, if you will, and we follow him and we stand in front, and we take, even though they didn't do anything, we are willing to take the blame for it, and rightly so, because he was at fault in this case. If the shepherd did not, okay, so here's what this comes down to. This is real practical for
for you, for me. If the shepherd does not love the people, if he does not love the people, if he is not willing to say, what did they do? I did this. What did they do? If the shepherd is not willing, if he does not love the people, he is not the shepherd. If somebody is in the ministry and they don't love people, why are they in the ministry? What's the point? If you don't love people, what are we doing? Because that's what it's all about, isn't it? Loving God, loving people. But if we don't, you know, it's like you hear people say this in a joking way. Man, ministry would be great if it wasn't for the people. But that's crazy. I mean, you know, I mean, nobody really means that, I hope. But man, if you don't love, and if you aren't broken, and if you're not willing to give it all for the people, then what are we doing in the ministry? Right? Because that's what it's about. Taking God's word and investing in it. So tonight we're going to have the TNT come in, the children. If we're not willing, if we don't love the children, because, okay, church, here's the deal. God gave us, here at Heartland, He gave us those children to minister to. It is God that said, okay, I will count you worthy to give you these children to put my word into their hearts. When you get right down to it, that is the truth. It's not, because here's how we look at it. Well, we had a family come in and they had 4 kids. And that's as far as we ever go with that conversation. But the truth is, God brought the family here. He brought the children here so we can take God's word and invest it into those kids. And if we don't love them, if we don't love those kids to give everything we've got to minister to them, what are we doing? Because think about it. If we're straight north to the judgment seat of Christ, then we're in good shape. But if we begin to get off track just a little, and we begin to love ourselves and our time more than the souls that Jesus Christ died for, we got a problem. The good shepherd does not hide behind the sheep. The last part of this verse here, it says this. So it says, what have these sheep done? Let thy hand, so David's talking to God, he says, let thy hand, I pray thee, Lord, just your hand, I pray you, take your hand, Lord, O Lord my God, be on me. See, this is a shepherd. This is a real shepherd. This is a real leader. Lord, whatever you're going to do, let it be on me. Let these sheep go. See, this is the mind of Christ here. This is what Christ did. He's like, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, just I'll take it. And David's at this point in his life here, he's like, let your hand be on me in my father's house, but not on thy people. See that? Notice that? Lord, these are your people. Just a little word, a 3-letter word. Lord, let your hand, your anger be on me in my father's house, but not on thy people. Man, David was like, he was broken. Because, you know, he knew about building the, you know, he was going to build a house. He brought the He brought the ark back. He had seen God do a lot of things. And he says, and he knew the promises. But he says, and he, all the promises that God gave to David, he was willing at this point to say, let it be on my father's house, your hand, but let these sheep go. Turn over to John 10, 11. John 10, 11. You know, as parents, it's easy to make decisions for your children when they're little, because it doesn't, you know, unless they're just terrible decisions. You make a decision for your kids based on, you know, safety or, you know, or whatever. And there's not a whole lot of consequence unless you make a bad decision, like, you know, like letting them ride around without a seatbelt on or whatever you do. But here's the thing. When they get older and they become teenagers and you're continually making decisions for them because that's just what you always did, and you're like, I'm in control. You're going to do it my way or no way. If you don't do it my way, you're hitting the road or whatever. Here's the problem. You make a decision for your, and it's good to make decisions for your child. I mean, we did this all the time. But here's the problem. You make the decision and they do it. What if that wasn't what God wanted them to do? Like, you're like, hey, you're not going to go here. You're going to go to this college. Or you're going to go, or you can just think of whatever you want to put in there. I mean, it's not a bad thing or a good, you know, it's nothing like that. It's just like you're making decisions for them that you should allow God to work in their lives and do. And I mean, we did that. So, I mean, it's not that it's bad. It's just we have to be very careful because it's easy, especially when they're like 16 or 17 years old, to direct them where you want them to go. Sometimes parents live out their missed dreams to their children. So you have to be careful with that. Now, here's the last part. Good shepherds will give their life, their very life, for the sheep. And that's what we see here in John 10, verse 11 and 13. It says this. Jesus Christ is talking here. It says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth. Now see, David in verse 17 back there, he's like, he didn't flee. He saw the wolf coming, because that chapter starts out with talking about the wolf. Because Satan appeared in the first verse of chapter 21 and challenged David to number, it provoked David to number the children of Israel. But at the end, and David went ahead and did it, but at the end, David turned out to be the good shepherd. At the end of verse 17, David turned out to be the good shepherd. He turned out to say, hey, I will die for your people. Jesus Christ came and he says, Father, I will die for these people. You created them. You give him breath, I will die for him. I'll give him eternal life. He is the good shepherd. So for us, we can take a lot away from this, because every decision we make has a consequence, and we have to weigh out those decisions, because everything that we do, every decision we make, it impacts other people, especially in the ministry and in the family. So we need to really be thinking about that when we do that. Okay. Hi, Brent. All right, so we're going to have our TNT graduation tonight, and then it's going to start Fun in the Sun next week, right? Bill, are you going to speak after Brent's through? Okay. Do we have a mic? Do we have a handheld mic? Do you have one? Okay, good. Brent, will you come up here, will you?